Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. And today we're going to be discussing the idea of shifting from audio podcasting to video, from the tech setup to monetization strategies. We'll talk all about video. So if you don't mind, please hit that share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen if you're listening live on Clubhouse. And if you're listening via podcast, please do me a favor, share this with a fellow podcaster. And then give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Morning, podcast and morning chat. Thanks for being here. I feel like my voice sounds a little sleepy. It probably is because I woke up this morning a little after 3 and I could not go back to sleep. I tried, but I just couldn't do it. So yeah, I might sound a little sleepy. I'm actually feeling okay. I'm feeling awake at this point because it's been a few hours now, so I've had some time to wake up. Whew. But I don't know, once in a while, I just have those nights where I wake up and my mind starts running and I just can't go back to sleep. What can you do? Today, I do want to dig into the world of video. I know that we absolutely have talked about video before, and I think it's important that we look at this from an angle of, I know we have a lot of audio-only podcasters in this room, and I'm going to make a guess that you've at least thought about making that switch and maybe talked yourself out of it. And so I want us to talk about it, explore it, figure out if it's something that maybe, if it's not today, it's something down the road that you believe you could incorporate. And I think we'll learn a lot along the way. However, with the icebreaker, I want to jump in to something a little different. A couple of weeks ago, we were discussing podcast apps. I think Dan, who is in the audience currently, I think Dan brought this up. We were discussing the podcast apps and how you organize all the different podcasts that you follow, how you manage that, how do you organize them. And we got a couple of app suggestions. I think I saw in our Facebook group, Empowered Podcasting, I saw that some of us had some success with, I think it was Hark, that DR, another person in our community, had recommended. So today, I want to learn more about your consumption habits to kick things off. Did you know that the average American listener, and yes, I'm talking listening right now. I know I started with video, but first, the average American listener consumes about 8 podcasts, meaning 8 podcast episodes every week. So I want to start with Nick. Good morning, Nick. I want to ask, how many podcasts do you listen to on average or watch in any given week? And then how do you determine which one you're going to consume next? And I'll even set you up for a second. In other words, do you listen to the very first one that you see in your queue? Do you go and look for a very specific one of those 7 or 8 if you are in the average and look for that one first? Like, so I'm curious of those consumption habits, Nick. How many do you listen to? And then which one do you determine you're going to listen to first?
Hey, good morning. I don't think there's really much of a rhyme or reason, unfortunately. I will say, like, if I'm going to go on like a long road trip, like today, I'll probably go queue up a couple episodes that might be entertaining to me. But as far as which ones I do, there hasn't been, at least lately, like podcasts that I will continually come back to. There's a couple, but as far as like entertainment stuff, I usually do like a Google search, look for something that I think is going to hold my attention and maybe have several episodes that I can binge during the drive. So that's one way that I find podcasts, I guess, to listen to. The other one, I think I've mentioned this before, but I use podcasts as a way to learn as well. So if I'm looking for something specific, or maybe I'm caught in a specific problem and I'm going to go mow the lawn, I want to solve this problem while I'm mowing the lawn or doing some other chores or something like that, I might look up podcast episodes about that topic that I think might solve my problem or help me move in the right direction. And again, that'll be either through Google search or searching on the Apple, or not Apple, but like the Spotify. Keep throwing out platform names, the podcast platform. And just looking for those specific topics and see if anything catches my interest. And that's usually a one-off kind of thing. Sometimes I'll come back to those podcasts if I think the content was good and it was helpful for me. But a lot of times it's very specific to where I'm at now, what I need help with now, and what I'm looking for in the moment.
Yep.
I'm not super helpful as far as a consistency.
No, so, here's the thing, Nick, that is helpful, because the idea behind this question really is to understand, and it was similar the last time when we talked about something similar, it's to understand the different habits that we have as consumers of podcasts, because I think a lot of us will often just go with, well, the statistics say it's this, so we need to cater toward the statistics. But the truth of the matter is I think that we all listen to our podcasts differently. We have different ways of consuming. I'm similar to you in the sense that I probably subscribe to way more than 8 podcasts, but I'm not the kind of listener that goes and listens every day to a different podcast that I'm following. For me, it's similar to like what you're saying, a road trip. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I will say, like, as far as subscribing to a podcast, that usually depends on that first run. So if I, as an example, I think it's called The Editing Podcast. That was one that I had flipped on because I was kind of stuck in the editing process. And I searched for editing tips or whatever it was on one of the podcast platforms, and I came across that podcast, and they did a really good job breaking down the strategies and things that they use when they edit like high profile videos, things like that. And that caught my interest, so I subscribed. But there are several instances where I put on a podcast episode, I was like, it was fine, but I'm probably never going to listen to this show again, and I don't subscribe. It was like kind of a one-time thing. So really that first episode that I listened to, it, if it helps me and I can see it helping me in the future, that's where I end up hitting the subscribe follow button.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yes, of course, we all still fall into the trap of sometimes calling it a subscription to a podcast, that we're subscribing to a podcast. And that terminology technically, I guess, has changed, especially with Apple, because Apple, it used to be subscribe to the podcast. Now, if you're subscribing on Apple, you're actually paying for the content. That's what subscriptions are now in Apple terminology. And follows is the old way of saying we subscribe to a podcast. It's a little confusing. And is that the podcast, Nick? I'm sharing it in the show notes. I'm sharing it here on Clubhouse, the editing podcast.
Yeah. Those guys are really good. The one guy on the right in that image that pops up there, he's edited for people like Mr. Beast, Jake or Logan Paul, one of those two weirdos. And he's done a lot of really high profile projects, and same with the guy next to him. But they have a really cool approach to editing, so I really enjoy it.
And specifically video editing, right?
Yeah. They're all about like storytelling through editing, and they can take a very seemingly non-story video and create a story around it just through how they go through the editing process. It's really impressive. It blows my mind. I cannot do that right now. It's very impressive and very cool.
Yeah, I remember less than a year ago, you shared something with me from one of these guys, from that guy that you had just mentioned. And I was definitely impressed with the way that he edited that particular video together, and rightfully so, being an editing podcast, that makes sense. But yeah, it seems like they do really good work. Thank you for that tip as well, Nick. And yeah, thanks for sharing a little bit about the way you're consuming podcasts. Dominic, good morning to you. So I'm asking everybody, because I want to learn your consumption habits. Do you listen on the day of a new episode of a podcast you're following, or do you wait until it's convenient to you? And also, how many podcasts do you listen to on average during the week? Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well. We got pepperoni pizza on the menu this morning.
Nice.
Turkey pepperoni.
Oh, turkey. Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of all over the place. What I will say, the number one podcast in the Lawson household is Charm Words. Charm Words is a affirmation podcast for kids that, you know, me and Zoe listen to on the way to school. And sometimes some of those charm words are kind of relevant to adults that's riding in the car at the time. And so sometimes I may listen a little bit harder than I would other times. So there's that. So outside of Charm Words, a lot of times I'm listening to podcasts to prep for maybe an interview I have coming up. So they're not necessarily podcasts I'm following, but maybe the person I'm interviewing has appeared on a few podcasts, so I'll go listen to those as well. And then I'll listen to a few of the podcasts that I follow from time to time, usually based on the subject matter, if you will, right? So like, you know, I'm subscribed to This American Life or Woke by Accident or Dripping in Black, and like maybe there's a guest like, that's an interesting one right there. Let me check that one out. So sometimes it's like interest based. So I probably go between 8 to 10 podcast episodes, 8 to 10 podcast episodes a week, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're listening when you're feeling it. Right. It's not like, oh, it's Tuesday, I got to go listen to X.
Pretty much. Yeah. Because there'd be days where the only podcast I'll listen to is Charm Words, which is only about 4 minutes long. And then there's days where I'll go listen, but like maybe the next day I won't listen to any. And then the next day after that, I'll probably go listen to 10 different podcast episodes because I'm, you know, interested in something. Or like to Nick's point, I'm like, you know, cleaning the house or going on an errand or something like that, or I'm going grocery shopping. Like, huh, I've been meaning to check this one out. you know, so there's that. I'm probably going to listen to one later on today. My friend Raphael, who does the White American Label podcast that I recorded in Brooklyn when I was in New York. He put me on to a podcast about how Chinese media, you know, kind of, you know, picks and chooses what media goes out into their to the country or whatever, and how, you know, when you watch Chinese media, a lot of times the villain cannot be an elder because it's like disrespectful to elders in the country or whatever. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I'm gonna go and check that out later today. So yeah, pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Thank you, Dominic. One more question. I know you're making lunch. One more question. White Label American. I just shared it here and in the show notes. What is this show about?
So the show is about, you know, people just kind of telling their story. So Raphael is originally from Africa and he moved here. And so basically it's about many people who come from different parts of the world and just kind of telling their story, if you will. If you're familiar with the term like white label or whatever, that's kind of where he got the idea from. And it's just a fascinating show where he interviews people telling their origin story. And then not everybody, you know, comes from, you know, overseas or anything like that. But that's kind of, you know, a big part of the stories that he, you know, kind of shares on there. And it's pretty cool. So,
yeah,
White Label American. And so I was pretty excited to come on his show, not just because I was, you know, just able to be on the show, but also I was able to, you know, podcast with, you know, people in person in a different place that I've met here on Clubhouse and stuff like that. And also gave me a chance to get out of Manhattan and go to Brooklyn. I was really excited about that because every time I go to New York, I'm always just like in Manhattan. So I was able to kind of go to Brooklyn. So that was fun.
Nice. Nice. Well, thanks for these tips, these shares for these different podcasts. I love also the idea of charm words. I think that's so cool to... the way you're doing it too, sitting in the car on the way to school, listening with her. I think that's beautiful. All right. I'm going to check in. Speaking of dads and daughters, let me check in with Alex this morning. Alex, and I say that because he's the co-host of Daddy Daughter Bookworms with his daughter. Alex, I'm asking everybody a little bit more about your listening habits as a consumer of podcasts. Do you listen on the day a new podcast episode's released? Do you wait until it works best for you? And how many are you listening to each week on average?
Okay. Unlike Dominic and Nick, and I know DR is like, we have to have an intervention with her because she loves podcast listening. And I mean that in the most loving way possible. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I do listen to a couple, and they're not so I listen to Mike Francesa. It's a sports podcast. Right now I've been listening to it more because of the playoff.
Hockey playoffs?
Hockey, basketball.
And basketball, yeah.
Just, you know, I watch, I mean, I listen to that. I also listen to Rookie Real Estate, which is a podcast from Bigger Pockets. And the other one, and the one I listen to probably the most is Amanda and Chris's, but I don't listen to it literally on the podcast. But I listen to it either on Facebook or YouTube. And I just want to note that Amanda is in the audience. I know she's not coming up these days because she's just in listening mode. But I'm just so happy that she's here because it's always better when Amanda's here. not Chris, but Amanda. that said, Chris and I have two mutual friends that have a podcast, and it's really kind of a neat little premise, and I do listen to it on a semi-regular basis. It's called Inside the Album with Don and Tommy, and it's just a fun music podcast that I listen to. And then the last thing I promised, I thought I really don't do a lot of it, but when certain shows are on, I listen to the show podcasts of those shows. So, you know, like when The Walking Dead is out, I'll listen to some Walking Dead stuff or when other things are out. But, and it's very sporadic. It's not like I'm not a daily podcast listener. I wish I was. It's just, I don't know. The podcast I listen to the most is this one, but we're here today live. So
yeah,
I'll leave it at that. I'll let Walter go because he clearly has more to say about this than I should.
No, see, and that's the thing. Thank you, Alex. That's the thing is there's no really there's no right or wrong here. This is to understand how we do it.
But Mark, there is, because I feel kind of guilty sometimes because I don't listen to enough podcasts because, you know, we get so wrapped up in our own podcast trying to get stuff out.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating that there's only so many things that you can put in your head. And there's those ton of really good podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, Alex. It's for me that like I said, I'm doing it. I'm listening when it's convenient for me. When I jump in the car, if I'm running errands, right? Like if, you know, my wife sends me out to run a bunch of errands and I'm just by myself in the car, I'm going to a podcast. But that's not every day, thankfully. So I listen when it works best for me. So Walt, I want to hear from you too. How many podcasts are you listening to on average? And, you know, where I also know you work with podcasters, let's not include the ones that your clients, right? Just as far as your casual listening, unless they are actually part of your casual listening, let's hear it. How many podcasts are you listening to on average each week? And do you wait until like they release it that day, or do you wait until it's convenient to you to check out that latest episode?
That's a good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm gonna just say the number 21, just because, you know, shout out to 21 Savage. But yeah, I think that because I started working in the podcast industry, it just changed the way how many podcasts I listen to. So it is a fewer number than before. Before, when I was just, you know, a regular civilian who happened to have a podcast, I was probably like five that I listened to like religiously as part of my lifestyle and listening habits. And then just when there's different ones popping up, I would check those out too. But I don't think we should feel bad for not listening to a lot of podcasts at all. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, you know, I think just like nation global wide, people don't, the average person doesn't listen to like 30 podcasts or whatever weekly. I think they listen to like,
I think it's eight.
The number's like less than eight, right?
It's right around there. It's 7 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's people who are listening all the time. So there's just so many different ways to consume information, be entertained, that podcasting is just one of those ways. Like I think I'm much more excited to watch Netflix than listen to podcasts, but podcasting kind of came into my life. Kind of came into my life during like super long trips to and from college, like during breaks and stuff like that. I started getting bored of music, so I went to podcasting. So just for everyone, I don't think we should feel bad. You know, there's lots of shows out there. So for me, yeah, some of the shows I work on, I literally only listen to for work. Fatal Attraction's one of them. I don't need that many love gone wrong stories in my regular life. But then there are some shows like Amanda Seales' show Small Doses. I think partly just working on it so much, and then also just kind of starting to appreciate her just approach to things. I've started to listening to it more, which is kind of funny because I was introduced to it from my partner years ago on a road trip. So it's a weird full circle moment. But yeah, so now it's just kind of random. I won't even give like a specific path because it's kind of messy. But while y'all were talking, I felt like wanted to share, there's a show called Stoop Kid Stories. And I'm sharing because it's a kids podcast and I'm impressed with the creativity and production. It's just one woman doing it. And she's someone who's like, did a really good job with Patreon like years ago. And I think still today as well. Spoke to her about it almost. I asked her if she wanted to like do a workshop, and she was like, "I don't know. I just know how to do it for me." So it's really cool, and has created this like way to engage with her listeners and stuff through events here and there. She's hit like the million downloads number, and it's like just her. She's like writing the story. She's doing the voice acting. She's doing the production. She made a really dope song for an intro that's actually kind of catchy.
Is this Melissa? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure I had the right one. I want to share this with everybody as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's super dope. And she's been featured on Apple, too, and stuff. So, all independent. So, I want to share that. Y'all go support. Your kids may like it. And then, a show that I haven't really listened to, but I really appreciate the creator and what she's doing out here. Anna Deshawn, called Second Sunday. And yesterday I saw her, she just recorded a video of herself just talking about like just hearing the final version of a recent episode or a new episode that's coming out in season two. And I was like, okay, nah, this is, when she said like at the end, she was like, it's good, y'all, it's good. I was like, I felt it. So I'm about to go, I missed season one, so I'm about to go check some of those episodes out. And it's just the story, what she's doing, just so interesting to me. It's like nothing to do with directly my life at all. But yeah, so that might be like a one to add. So I guess to answer one of your questions, I like to listen to things that are like new perspectives for me, just because I'm a curious individual. I like to listen to things that are kind of teaching me something. And I just sometimes just like some stupid stuff to laugh to. And then music conversations. Those are usually like I want those in my rotation.
Right on. Thank you. Appreciate it, Walt. Thanks for all these recommendations. I think I got them all in the show notes and Sharon here as well. Small Doses, Stoop Kids Stories, and Second Sunday. Thank you for those. And thank you for sharing a little bit more. And so you're saying basically one of the things I think I caught you saying is, you're going to probably go hit Netflix to unwind before you pop in a podcast. Is that fair to say?
Actually, I mean, that was a good catch, but not, I should clarify.
Okay.
I actually do like listening to podcasts. So like podcasts is exactly what I want to listen to when I'm doing certain things and moving around. So like whether it's cleaning or mowing the lawn, like I'm one of those podcast listeners. I listen while doing things. I am a self-prescribed ADD person, so I think like having those multiple things going on kind of helps me to focus. And yeah, it takes me longer to do the dishes, but I'm entertained.
Yeah, that, yeah. I feel you. That's kind of similar to the way I'm doing it too. Like I think I've explained, it's. Yeah, I like to listen to podcasts. I'll go to listen to podcasts. It just depends on what I'm doing in that moment. If it's a podcast time, or if it's, say, maybe popping on a Avengers Endgame because I'm cleaning the dishes. Sometimes I'll just put on a movie that I love and know like the back of my hand, and I'll just pop in a movie over a podcast. It just all depends on the mood for me. So I feel that, Walt. Before I check in with the others that have joined us on stage, and I do want to talk a little bit about video podcasting too. I want to first let everyone know, if you are in the New Jersey area on Wednesday, the 24th, Stacy's got her community meetup that she started a couple months ago. Once a month, she gets together with local podcasters talking similarly to like how we do things here, right? Talking about a certain topic, a subject around podcasting. And she often brings in speakers for this. I say often, even though it's been three, but so far she's brought in speakers and she's bringing me in. I am flying to New Jersey that day on the 24th. And then that evening, I will be joining there talking all things AI, while Nick will be doing the same, but he will be doing it virtually. He'll be running the Zoom, because one of the things that Stacy's community does is they make this available to anybody. So if you're not in the New Jersey area and you do want to hear about ways you can use AI with your podcast to help move things along, make things faster, more efficient, automate some of your processes, that's what we're doing. So you could do that really from wherever you are in the world. And that is the link. I've shared it live here on Clubhouse and in the show notes. So please join us however you're able. I see Wynn, you're off mic. Did you want to say something about Stacy's event? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I was accidentally off mic. Huh. But could someone hand me the Zoom link? Because if I am awake enough and aware enough to click a Zoom link, I would love to see Stacy's work, because I know she's one of the OGs of this group. And so I would love to support, but I need the Zoom link because you guys know what I'm up against. So if I'm awake and if I'm aware enough to click a Zoom link, I will.
No problem. We'll make sure you get that link as well, Wynn. And I know tomorrow's a big day with the surgery, the back surgery.
Yep.
Yep. So we are thinking about you. And yeah, if you're able to, that'd be awesome. And no pressure. We want you to recover and get healthy.
No. The funny thing is, I have people coming tomorrow, day one, to help support. So, and they don't care. It's a unique situation that I am in, and they just want to come and help support, and they just want to have me heal and help me where they can. So,
well, thank you, Wynn. And we're thinking about you. Be well and check in whenever you're able to. I want to make sure, since we have DR up here, we have Jeff up here, while we were talking about the opening question of the morning, the amount of podcasts you're consuming and when you're consuming those podcasts, I want to make sure I'm giving everybody an opportunity to answer. DR, did you want to answer the question? Good morning.
Good morning from Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for bringing me up. I actually do need a kind of an intervention. It was mentioned earlier. Yeah. So I subscribe to maybe, this is embarrassing, I think it's in the 70, 75 range. Do I listen to them all? Of course not. No one has that kind of time. But that's why the titles are so important. If your titles are not up to snuff, then I have to drop you, you know, at any certain times, like maybe 7 months ago when I was trying to learn about SEO, anything with SEO in the title, I was there. I use podcasts as my kind of learning. I dive deep into the learning. And two and a half years ago, when I was just starting to get into podcasting as a business, that's why I got all of these podcasts on my phone. And I just dove in headfirst and started listening. And I really think it has made me better at what I do. The other thing I use podcasts for is, for instance, tomorrow I have a discovery call with a potential client. So I want to study up as much as possible on them. I am pretty much crash coursing on everything that, you know, they've put out. So I do that a lot. And I have a couple of different players because I don't want my comedy podcast mixing up with my culinary podcast, mixing up with my podcasts on podcasting. So I have separate players. It is, an intervention is probably the best thing.
Well, I mean, I appreciate how you're doing it, DR. I mean, it sounds to me like you're simply creating a library and you've got your archives. And when you're looking for a specific topic to educate yourself more on, you go to that library, that particular section of your library, and consume what you can of that content.
That's exactly right. I also do the same thing with newsletters. I subscribe to an enormous amount of newsletters. And when you talk about library, I have something called a personal reference library that I keep on a Trello board. So whenever I run into an article, a blog, a thread on Facebook or anywhere else that is like, oh, that's interesting, I got to keep that, I will screenshot it or I will put a link to it and keep that on a Trello board. Everything is categorized as to, you know, what it's about. So wow. Yeah, I'm a little bit weird on that.
Yeah, not weird, just very particular, it sounds like. And that's cool. That's cool. I love it. Thank you, DR. Thanks for sharing. Let me go to Jeff. Jeff, good morning to you. Did you want to answer today's question? How many podcasts do you listen to on average? And when you listen to those?
Sure, I'll touch on that. You know, I would say that the few podcasts I subscribe to, most of them are news related, time sensitive content, which is why I would want them to be subscription based. I mean, I do subscribe to a couple of music podcasts that I really enjoy, Norah Jones, Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters. But I also just kind of keep a list of podcasts that I have referenced for different subjects. I will offer this though. One thing that I do is I subscribe to a couple of podcasts that I would consider in some way peers to what I do, but not good ones. I actually subscribe to a couple that I kind of have disdain for, which is one of the reasons I started doing what I do. And the reason I do that is because I want to keep in mind that discipline is important. There are a lot of really lame things out there that succeed because they're disciplined, even though the content is not great. And I want to use that as a motivator, like, look, I can't expect to improve if I get so bogged down that I don't get things completed, I don't get things done, I don't get things out there. There is a reason that people succeed more for persistence than necessarily for the quality of their work. So I will subscribe to a couple of things like that. And lastly, I would just say that I try to keep in mind with my own podcast, particularly when I'm promoting something specific, and I don't say this as a call out, I just say this as a way to try to keep myself accountable. There are times when I will make a point to focus and intentionally, actively listen to a particular episode or a particular podcast, because if I'm not willing to do that for some of the folks that reach out to me, I kind of feel like I don't deserve to have people do that for me. So I will make a point to do that just to try to hold myself accountable. But yeah, that's kind of my game plan. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate that breakdown and appreciate all of these different ways that we consume our podcasts and the ways and the fact that we're sharing these different ways. It's so interesting to me because it doesn't feel like there's one way that any of us are doing this the same. We all have our own little intricacies around how we consume podcasts. And I want to ask if you all are okay with it. I do want to get into a little bit of this video stuff because, well, A, I said we would, and B, I think it's important to dig into this a little bit more. When we talk about video podcasting, we've heard this from so many, especially over the past, I'd say, year and a half, that it's time to start moving to video podcasting. And I have shared my mixed feelings about that, because I genuinely believe you can absolutely succeed if you don't have a video podcast. That said, I think there's a lot of power in video podcasting. I think it can greatly improve your discoverability. And so I want to dig into that. And Alex, I see you have a question or you have something you want to add. Go for it.
Yeah, when we first talk about video podcasting, I think there's a couple of layers to it that just think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got your live, which is a completely different beast than if you do the recording. And then you've got your actual video where you have talent in front of the screen versus, and maybe this is a YouTube thing or a platform thing, versus video content that is static image and then audio behind it. And again, you know, if you want to step your toe into it, one of the best ways, I mean, Headliner does it. You could do it on Canva, whatever you want. It's, you can do a static image, put it up on YouTube or any platform, and you'll get hits. People do consume this content. And I just want people to understand, if you're newer, that it's not all or nothing. You don't have to go buy the latest and greatest camera and do all these crazy edits on video, because I think that's what maybe that's what kind of hampers me sometimes, is the edits on the video versus the edits on the audio. And you don't even need to do that. You can just edit the audio, have a static thing. So just throwing that out to start the conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I appreciate that, Alex. Let me get back to that. I saw Wynn wanted to say something else.
I did want to say something else. I'm going to start doing video podcasting in August, raising awareness about scoliosis and back surgeries along the way, because I have got a bunch of podcast interviews and I've been telling people, look, I may have to wear a back brace while I'm doing this interview because of the nature of beast. If people ask me about it, I'm going to start raising awareness for spinal fusions and scoliosis, because found out about it as a fluke because I knew something was wrong with my back, and without my own medical advocacy, I was smart enough to do that, I would be in rough shape. But I think we, via video, I think we need to start raising awareness about the hidden things we believe in and helping others.
Thank you, Wynn. Yes, I agree with you. And if you feel like video is going to help with that, yeah, I think why not? I think that's definitely another way, when we, like I said, to kick things off with this part of the conversation, I think doing video, at the very least, it's going to help broaden your audience, help you be more discoverable. You're on a new platform or another platform, and a big one at that, right? YouTube is really kind of the only game in town as far as big time distribution of your content. I know there are other platforms like TikTok, for example, but it's a little more challenging to get your stuff seen on TikTok when it's a long episode. And yes, TikTok does offer longer form content now. I haven't seen it or heard about it being a big success yet. Yeah, Alex.
Mark, I invited Lolo up, and I mean, he was an ambassador for Clubhouse, but he's a content creator that's done very well. If he wants to come up and share something, I think it would be great. If he can't, that's fine. But, you know, this is a person that has taken content and gotten hundreds of thousands of views on different type of stuff. If he can come up, that would be great. But if he can't, I understand.
Yeah, awesome. Do you know him, Alex?
I do, from the streets of Clubhouse. And like I said, he was a Clubhouse ambassador at one point.
Awesome.
And just a great guy. But he might not have time to come up.
But. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get him to at some point, if not today. Thanks for calling that out, Alex. All right. So, you know, I want to go to Dominic. Dominic, if you have a minute, I don't believe your shows are video. And I'm curious, is that a conscious decision and why?
So we kind of talked about this a little bit last week. So for Black is America, there's not me on video or whatever. I have like video elements where sometimes I record me, you know, recording an episode or whatever. But that's mostly because of how the storytelling is done. Just chose not to do that because I know I want the audio version to kind of match the video version a little bit. So that's why we do that. Now for the Meadows, it's a little different. Where we're very sporadic with our video. And I mentioned this last week. One of those reasons is because the views for video were not as not what we wanted because of, like I said, the Meadows, my podcast there is predominantly white audience. And so when you see a Black content figure, we know based on many studies and even in our own stats or whatever, that content doesn't get viewed as much because it's assumed to be something that you can't relate to. Now, what we have done is be very sporadic with when we do use video, you know, whether it be like one of our senior fellows or it's like a big name guest, like we're going to do probably at the end of the month, which is why I was in New York and stuff like that. So sometimes those conscious decisions are made based on who does video, when we do video and when we don't do video. So it's kind of a little bit of a mixture of both, if you will. But I do like being on video. It's a lot of fun. And also, seeing as that we have a videographer, I don't have to do that editing. I can just show up. So that's nice. you know, but it's also cool to just kind of have, you know, somebody to collaborate with on those video pieces as well, if you will. Because the thing is, like, we get to kind of, you know, have our creativity there together. And do things together. So it's kind of, you know, cool to do that.
Yeah. And thank you for the reminder. I know you had brought that up early last week, particularly about the Meadows podcast and the choices that you had to make. I appreciate you sharing that. And with Black is America, I appreciate what you're saying about that too. And I'm curious, I mean, I know you were almost considering this being the final season, and I think you have said that that might change. I mean, is it in the future for Black is America, or do you feel like it is, you prefer it to be audio?
I'm open to it. I definitely am open to it. It's just one of those things where I'm not sure what that would look like just yet. That's one of the reasons why I'm kind of interested in Sora coming online to see what kind of cool things I can do there. So maybe if it's not me, it can be something to that regard. So I'm definitely open to it for sure.
Right. And I guess the challenge is that because you're doing a lot of storytelling and you're using audio to help you tell the story, now you would have to consider something like video. How are you going to do that? Correct. Right. Correct. Got it.
And that production cost will go way up.
Right. Right. So that's something to think about. I'm looking at the stage here. I know that Jeff and Walt definitely do video style podcasts, and I know that they make them both available for audio. Let me go down the line here. Walt, good morning again to you. What made you decide to go both video and audio? What was the reasoning behind that?
There's just a different type of person, different lifestyle, and different moment. I don't know. It's just to me, it's like the same. It's just making it more accessible, I think, is the biggest thing. I always tell the story of my grandma talking to me about my podcast, and I was like, how did you know about this? And she had found it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. So
ever since then, I'm like, absolutely, yeah. And then also, it's just seemed like a good decision to make because I was recording video anyways, to just use YouTube's discoverability platform. And honestly, it wasn't it wasn't my primary platform. Now I push YouTube a little bit more just because it's for people who are first timers listening, catching something on YouTube is a lot easier than catching something on a podcast platform. And I just think that's because YouTube has been so ingrained into our lives on a global perspective as well. So yeah. Yeah, it's just to me, and then also I just like watching stuff on YouTube myself. So
yeah. So Walt, what would you say to somebody who feels like Dominic, who or anybody who feels like it's going to be way too expensive, the budget's going to be through the roof if I move to video?
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it unless you want to, unless you're ready to. I think it was Alex mentioned it earlier. Just like you could put your stuff up without any actual video. There's plenty of tools out there, like Headliner will create like a dynamic visuals for you, like for the full entire episode, and you can export from Headliner to YouTube. So there's lots of tools out there so that you don't have to do all the stuff. Wondery's podcasts are on YouTube as audio only with YouTube's RSS. Well, they might do video too, I don't know, but I just know they have audio. So there's like the New York Times podcast, a lot of different news podcasts are out there on YouTube with audio only, and people listen to it. There's a podcast on the network that's audio and video, and I push the audio out to YouTube, and people will listen to the audio, and then sometimes they'll also listen to the video. So no, don't beat yourself up on it. Do it when you're ready. The pressure is like video does help, but if it's more, the cost is greater than the return, don't do it.
Right on. Okay, cool. And Dominic, I see you wanted to say something while Walt was chiming in. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah, really quickly. Now, in that same vein, it was Walt who actually, because at first I was stuck, right, as far as like video for Black is America. But it was Walt who, a conversation we had, I think like a year and a half, 2 years ago, where he showed me some examples that even though you don't put the entire podcast in some type of video form, but just have video elements, if you will. So if you've seen me do like the Ken Burns moving picture type of thing with Black is America, I kind of got that idea from Walt. So at the very least, there's a video element, even if it's the entire podcast isn't, you know, up on video, if that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense.
So that's been very beneficial and helpful as well.
Yeah, there's always ways to get something done, like to Dominic's point. So, like, if you really don't want to do video, don't do it. But if you do want video, there are plenty of ways to make it very, very accessible, as Dominic shared. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, out of curiosity, what kind of camera do you use to record your video?
Now I use a Sony A6400. Before, I was using a Logitech webcam. The DSLR cameras, if we're talking, you know, budget, I think that if you're not using it for, you know, being outside and recording stuff, I would just go with a webcam. Like there's a couple, I forgot the brand names right now, but there's a couple that are like in the $200 or $300 range. So still, if you're on a budget, it's kind of up there, but it has similar and in some cases, depending on what camera you have, it can be better quality and a little more, you know, functionality and bells and whistles than some cameras, and it's a lot more accessible.
I agree with you. One of those cameras, I don't know if this is one that you were going to refer, but I could recommend the, the Elgato. Elgato's got an HD, actually 4K streaming camera. And I've been using that. I like it. I've got some issues with it, but quite frankly, I think there are issues that I've created. I have to work on my lighting situation because I think the lighting is causing some glare and reflections in the camera. And so I haven't quite perfected it yet. But it is a great quality camera for sure. Alex, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dominic, because you brought up the fact of the Meadows having a challenge. Did you ever, I know you're a Ken Burns guy, did you ever think to just have your voiceover with your clients? and then just have other images that still do video?
No, we have, and we've done some of that, right? Like a lot of times for our testimonials, we've done that. But honestly, kudos to the Meadows, because the Meadows like, well, listen, you are our podcast guy and we're going to feature you. So whatever we have to sacrifice as far as downloads, so be it, because we want to get this message out. So those challenges are still there, but the Meadows like, screw it. We're still going to do this. So, but we have done some things with like, you know, reels and stuff like that, where I'm not on camera and I try to limit it, you know, just so we can get those downloads numbers up. But the Meadows is like, we don't care. So
yeah, definite kudos to them. And I want to check in with John. I see John's up here now. John, I know I have a suspicion what you're going to say, and just and humor us, because look, we're talking about, there are people that want to video podcasts. So we want to make sure we are serving all sorts of podcasters. Keep that in mind, and by all means, share your thoughts and opinions.
I'm going to jump in right now and say, I'm going to read something from Backlinko study in January 29, 2024. 17% of podcast hosts record their shows as videos. 32% of podcast listeners in the United States say they prefer video to audio. So the thought that you have to have video is a misnomer. And by the way, I did video a long time ago, and for Dominic Westworth, people didn't seem to want to open it and view it. It made no impact whatsoever on my, even audiograms made zero impact. As a matter of fact, I went ahead and disabled all my video shows in YouTube. And last, I'll say this, it would severely impact the amount of guests I have and the quality of guests and their stories, because the audio only using a radio studio and a phone is a lot more accessible to everybody than having a microphone and video, a lot more accessible. So you wind up having a lot more professional podcast guests than you do people, powerful stories that make really move the needle. Having said that, I would just say this. Matt's on stage, Jeff's on stage. If you're going to do a video show, then for God's sake, wear earbuds. Get rid of those over-the-head headphones. Stop talking into spit screens where people don't see your face. And for the love of God, stop this side-by-side talking head stuff. If you're going to do video, do it well. Otherwise, don't do it at all.
Well, there you go. There you go. And to be clear, we are not saying here anyway, nor I don't think have we ever said you have to do video. I think we certainly track with John in several areas that you can have tons of success with audio only. And I'm with you, John. I'm with you on the idea. If you're going to do video, yeah, I think it's important to do it with production value in mind and make sure that it is dynamic. Can you get away with it not being professionally produced? Yes. Will it be less effective? Potentially, yeah. Let's see. All right, let me go to Jeff. And I know Matt jumped up on stage, so I want to make sure we hear from him too. Jeff, good morning again. What did you want to add?
Well, I mean, I think fundamentally it depends on your content. Now, you know, in my case, I initially was running a video camera knowing that I would want to take some snippets out to promote it, because I didn't really know for sure what I was going to do regarding video. But I real quickly figured out that in my space, the entertainment space, the music space, it was going to be very important, mainly because there's so many people, you know, and Matt knows this, there's so many people that pretend to do video, but all they do is what John was talking about, the talking head Zoom stuff. And the video they do is so bad that you can't expect your guest to want to promote what you just did. They don't want to share it because it's not flattering. And, you know, one of the real advantages that we have as a podcast, and granted, we're still young, but is the fact that that's one of the things that we do offer as a part of our thing, is something that you don't have to make excuses for,
and apologize for. We just appeared at a country radio seminar, which is basically an opportunity for a lot of news platforms, media platforms, to interact with country music artists. And it's the first time we've ever been there, and we were one of the few that had a full schedule, that had artists all day, every day, that wanted to talk to us. And that was one of the reasons, just not because we did video, but because whether we were doing video or audio, we were trying to do something that was quality. And that's, you know, what John was talking about. Just the mere fact that we had real microphones and we're not recording through a cell phone was unfortunately impressive to some people. So, yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing. The last thing I would say to it is, when you listen to a baseball game on the radio, they still make a point to put audience mics out there to make sure that you can hear the crowd. And that's how you know that the game is exciting. So if you're going to shoot video, you know, make sure that as you're editing, you're shooting reactions. You're getting the other side of the conversation, because that's how people know that the conversation is entertaining, that the joke was funny, because you show somebody laughing, you hear the crowd response, and that's how you convey that to your audience. So whether it's audio or video, that's how you capture the conversation. So those are my thoughts. Out.
Thanks, Jeff. Matt, did you want to chime in? Good morning. Good to have you on stage. Haven't talked to you in a spell. How are you?
Great. Top or the bottom and wrap up here. But if you're looking at video cameras, if you really, really, really want to learn video, dive into the Canon C100. That camera's about 14, 13 years old. At the time, it was about $10,000. Up until recently, there were still professional documentaries taped on the Canon C100. And what the Canon C100 will force you to do is to learn. It's a cinema camera. It's full blown. It forces you to learn the art of video. The body of that thing costs $400 to $500. Go buy a lens for a few hundred bucks, and then, or an XC10 or XC15. But that's what I would advise anybody to do. Let's get in the video. I'll land there. Good hearing and talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for that tip. I will make sure to include that in the show notes as well. And I'm going to also make sure that we get back to more video discussion this week, because I didn't give you enough today. I don't feel like I've served you enough on this topic. So I think we should keep going. Before I do, let me go to Dominic again. Dominic, what did you want to add?
No, really quickly. Hey, Matt Pivato, I emailed you a few times. I want to collaborate with you and Brad for...
Send me, put a dream on the chat, because I haven't received it.
I got you.
Because I've received the email.
No worries.
The other thing is if you guys aren't, for some reason, if those emails aren't connecting, let me know and I'll text you guys both, and then you'll have a way to contact each other. Walt, what did you want to add?
I'll make this quick so you can wrap it up, but I think it's important to share it. I think if you can go all out and get like the super nice equipment to record, then definitely do, because it can make a difference. But also want to share that I've had content with just kind of dry video visuals and stuff like that, and it outperforms other content. So yeah, there will be people who will stop watching immediately because they don't like, you know, it's just kind of like a turn off. It's like looks all fuzzy or grainy or something like that, or it's just kind of boring. But just like the conversation or the actual like content, like what you're there to talk about or do, will, you know, the people who want to hear that, they'll stick around. And some people don't even watch the screen when they have YouTube up.
So, oh, yeah.
And then also it's good to just start where you are and then scale up as you go till you get to the point where you can get I forgot the name of that camera, Matt, but yeah, there's a lot of nice stuff out there to really step your game up, but take your time.
That's the Canon C100. And yeah, thank you, Walt. I mean, I actually, you know, I teased a little bit last week, I did my first one-on-one interview outside of this space for the Podcasting Morning Chat. And because I was still, as I mentioned earlier, I have work to do with my lighting and my newer camera, I went right to the back of my iPhone, set that up, used that camera, and quite frankly, I think my video quality looks better than my guests, and I know she was using a dedicated camera, not the phone camera. So sometimes, yeah, like to your point, Walt, make it work with what you got, and it can actually do a damn fine job. So yeah, like I said, we will definitely get back into video content and really all the, you know, the software that we're using. We haven't even dug into that. Different styles, you know, to John's point, if you're going to do video and you want to do it with high quality production value, let's talk about the different things you can do, right? The talking head. Okay, if you're going to do that, how do we make that more dynamic for video? So we'll dig into all of these different areas as well. The beauty of this show is we get to do it Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern, live here on Clubhouse. So if a conversation hasn't finished today, we can always go to it the very next day. So please join us here live on Clubhouse. You can get that link in the show notes. And if it's too early for you, 7 a.m. Eastern, to join us live, catch the podcast 7 a.m. Pacific time every Monday through Friday. Until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.